I don't believe in fate. I believe in hard work, willpower, and a man's capacity to shape his own future, provided he's willing to fight for what he wants. I come from a long line of stubborn men who refuse to take no, or can't, or often even shouldn't, for an answer, and I intend to follow in their footsteps. I won't be coming home empty-handed. As I guide my sleek Jaguar F-Type around the tight, alpine curves, making my way deeper into the Rindish countryside, I vow to scour every mountainous nook and cranny of the nation. I will find Elizabeth Rochat, prove she's Elizabeth, and confirm that the woman passing herself off to my brother as his fiancée is an imposter. She's Sabrina, Elizabeth's twin sister, or I'll eat my hat. Or my coat, the heavy wool one. I'm that sure Andrew's being duped. Yes, they look eerily alike, even for twins, but there are subtle physical differences that will be readily apparent once I tote the real Elizabeth home to Galantia for a side-by-side comparison. And, of course, there are personality differences, like the fact that Elizabeth is one of the most intriguing people I've met, and Sabrina, well, Sabrina is nice, friendly, okay. Andrew certainly seems interested in her, but Sabrina is no Elizabeth. I only spent 3 hours with Lizzie the last time we spoke, but even at 13, she was a layered, thoughtful, quirky in an enjoyable way sort of person. I'm sure at 25, she's even more charming. As angry as I am at the twins for pulling such a stupid stunt, an engagement is serious business, and a royal engagement even more so. I can't deny that I'm eager to see Elizabeth again. To talk to her, listen to her, to discover her thoughts on the state of the world and the evolution of literature in the past decade, to learn what she's been reading and if she enjoyed Lady Chatterley's Lover. We can talk about that now. Back when she was 13 and I was 16, it would have been inappropriate to call her up and ask if she found the sex scenes in that book as depressing as I did. But at 25 and 28, we can talk about anything we damned well please, including the fact that she shouldn't marry my brother. Elizabeth and her sister are going about this the wrong way, but their instinct is spot on. This arranged marriage has been a disaster in the making from day one. It's high time someone came to their senses and put his or her foot down. Andrew, however, is determined not to be the bad guy. My older brother has always cared far too much about what other people think. In his defense, I'm sure it's hard to go against our grandfather's wishes now that he's gone, so it falls to Elizabeth to call for a return to sanity. I have no doubt she has it in her to end the betrothal. The man Andrew hired to spy on his fiancée painted Elizabeth as a shy, stuttering, weak-willed woman. But I've met her. She's calm and quiet, but there's steel in her core. She might not stand up for what she wants often, but when she sets her mind on something, I bet she's a force to be reckoned with. The thought makes my lips curve as I push through the door of a small cafe in the village of Islip Downs. I'm frustrated with her deception, but I'm also curious, though I'm sure our initial meeting won't be pleasant. I expect it to be fairly unpleasant, in fact. But in no version of reality do I expect to stumble upon her the first time I pull off the road for a coffee and a Berliner. When the door to the shop opens behind me, and a slim blonde steps inside, wrapped head to toe in a giant grey scarf, a fluffy white hat plopped atop her head like a dollop of whipped cream, I'm certain my eyes are playing tricks on me. I blink, twice, but the woman's heart-shaped face remains the same. It's Elizabeth, in the flesh, her cheeks flushing pink as her gaze connects with mine. I'm 15 centimeters taller, and probably 20 kilos heavier than the last time we met, but she recognizes me instantly. The anxiety tightening her features leaves little doubt about that.